Greetings and welcome to Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. This is a weekly podcast of Sunday homilies and theological reflections given by the staff of the Catholic community and their guests. Today's speaker is Reverend John Kerrigan, Deacon of the Catholic community. It is the 15th Sunday in Ordinary Time, and the readings are from Cycle B.
Once upon a time, a billionaire on Shelter Island threw a lavish party. And among the attendees were two of the best-known writers of the day, Kurt Vonnegut Jr. and Joseph Heller. At one point during the evening, Vonnegut remarked to Heller that their hedge fund manager host had made more money in a single day than Heller had earned from his wildly popular novel, Catch-22, over its entire history. And Heller's response? Yes, but I have something he will never have. Enough. Enough. What a simple, almost eloquent word. We live in the world's wealthiest country and have comforts and technologies that would have been unimaginable even 50 years ago. And most of us, I think, are grateful for that abundance. Yet, for too many in our society, there appears to be no limit on what enough entails. One of the casualties of our postmodern, social media-marinated culture of rugged individualism is the diminishment of the tradition that honors self-sacrifice for the common good. A tradition that asks this question: do the least of my sisters and brothers have enough? Sad to say, more than a few of our fellow citizens believe that their lives are private property. They appear tone deaf to the Christian call to build the reign of God here on earth. Today's Hebrew scripture passage from Amos and Jesus' instruction found in the story of Mark's gospel invite us to consider what's sufficient for our journey. In other words, just what enough means. Based on our understanding, maybe we can figure out what prophetically proclaiming the good news in our lives looks like today, here and now. And what is that good news that we're to proclaim? Paul's epistle to the Ephesians provides an answer. In writing, Paul is so excited that he can't find words enough to explain what he wants to say. His message is about redemption. It's about salvation. It's about being adopted as God's children. It's about grace, forgiveness, and mercy. And in today's gospel passage, we're given some sense as to how Paul's vision is to come about. I call these directives the enough rules. Now, of course, the physical conditions in the time of Jesus are very different than our own, but these principles are enough, are as applicable now as they were then. First, travel light. Get rid of any excess baggage that might weigh you and me down and hinder our mission. Second, stay clear and focused. Decide on what's essential as opposed to an external trapping. And third, don't expect to be greeted with flowers. People are not always going to be pleased with our message. They might even attack us for delivering it. So, keeping these rules in mind, let's turn to that first reading from Amos. Who are these people, Amos and Amaziah? The short text that was read doesn't give us much context to understand what's going on. And what does the message have to do with what does it have to do to apply to our present time? Well, the story of Amos takes place during the 8th century before Christ, in the reign of King Jeroboam. The Israelites were enjoying an economy that is booming. They're at peace with their neighbors. We might even say that they're at the peak of their power. except for one thing. The entire system that they put in place is in violation of their covenant with the Lord. Why? Because it's based on plundering of the poor by the rich. Just listen to some of the charges that Amos levels against the people in the chapter that comes right before the reading we heard today. They sell the just man for silver and the poor man for a pair of sandals. They trample the heads of the weak into the dust of the earth and force the lowly out of the way. Might we say that Amos's world of almost 3,000 years ago appears eerily similar to our own? For example, in the midst of today's robust global economy, over 60 million men, women, and children are displaced from their countries, forced to migrate due to war, poverty, and in some cases, genocide. Closer to home, during these past few weeks, what has been an uglier spectacle? The sad tales of family members being separated from one another at our nation's borders? Or the pettiness of politicians playing to their base or maneuvering for maximum political damage to their opponents? I sometimes entertain this fantasy. Getting President Trump and Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer into a room together, a small, windowless room with no air conditioning, and forcing them to stay in there until they agree upon sensible policy solutions to our nation's immigration problems. And then to work with legislators from different sides of the political spectrum to pass fair, rational, and compassionate legislation. But back to the prophet Amos. He was a nobody, a hick from the country. And yet, he dared to expose the sickness that existed in his society. God gave him keen insight into what was going on, and even more importantly, the courage to tell his world about it. And how was Amos's message received? Not well. Amaziah the priest accused him of being disloyal, a conspirator against God's anointed. Amos, he said, was unpatriotic and must be driven out. And yet, Amos is actually a model of what being a Christian should look like in our church and in today's world. Once again, think of the principles of enough that I mentioned a moment ago. Travel light. Stay clear and focused on the plight of the powerless. Realize that people will not always be pleased with your message. So what's the takeaway from today's first reading? That we all need to be like Amos? Not necessarily. Religious activism, from the left or from the right, has its place. And yet for most of us, the quiet witness of a simple lifestyle and discerning what it means to have enough in individuals and in family circumstances might be the most effective way of proclaiming the gospel today. For isn't it the case that most of us clutter our hearts and our minds with worldly goods that prevent us from attending to what's most important in life? We so easily forget that the only piece of luggage that we can take with us as we leave this world is charity. So perhaps it's an enough mindset that helps us to do Christ's work in small things done daily. I recently had breakfast with a good friend, Gio, who graduated from Stanford just a few years ago. He works as a legislative director for a member of Congress, a Democrat. He told me that the only time people in Washington, D.C. talk about their faith lives, if ever, is on Sunday. Yet as I talked to Gio, it became clear to me that he witnesses to his faith day by day and hour by hour. How? By the initiatives he takes to reach across the political aisle. For example, he and a Republican peer worked together to craft legislation that benefited veterans. This bipartisan effort was passed by the Congress last December. Gio told me stories about devoting time to training interns and new members of the staff rather than just letting them sink or swim. With typical modesty, he related how he tries to do with the practice of many on Capitol Hill of retaliating with an eye for an eye to every little slight. While I'm not perfect, Gio said, I do try to stay calm and forgive others. I also heard about his faith helps him to deal with the stress of long hours and intense negotiations. So I asked Gio if his colleagues ever ask him why he approaches life the way he does. Well, he responded, people sometimes tell me I'm different, which I really don't strive to be, but it does give us the opportunity to talk about principles and priorities. Sometimes we talk about our faith, but most times our conversations are simply ways of talking about practicing charity. My conversation with Gio brought to mind the words of the poet Gerard Manley Hopkins, which I paraphrase here. Christ plays and works in 10,000 places and acts in 10,000 ways. When we practice the principles of enough in our lives, traveling light, focusing on the essentials, knowing there are times we'll be rejected, people will ask themselves, who is this person? Why is he or she so joyful? What secret do they have that we don't know? Who is their secret? And when they do this, stop for a moment and take satisfaction in the fact that you and I are meant to be modern-day prophets and disciples, men and women in the process of growing into the full maturity and dignity that was promised in our baptism. Now that's enough, isn't it?
This has been a presentation of Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. Director Gary Glover, with music by Albert Tommaso and Shane Clarkson. For more information, please visit our website at catholic.stanford.edu or visit our offices on the third floor of Old Union. Till next time, God bless you.